1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
Tay. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Finney.
It's a Minneapolis Miracle.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to another edition of the Scolgers Podcast. I'm your host, the ever lovable Ed Broadmarkle, here with me, as always, Mike Anderson. How are we doing on this fine Monday, Mike?
I'm doing well.
Vikings could not take the victory this weekend, falling to the Jaguars, 14-10. But we were at this game, Mike, and this is your first time at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
First time in the stadium.
What'd you think of the full experience? I mean, I see your snaps every day. You walk by it almost every day. But
I'm like on the grounds basically every day, but I had never been inside.
First time inside?
Yes.
Just walk me through the experience, Mike. What were you feeling? What were your emotions?
So came in through the front. They did not have the big sliding doors open.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. That would have been cool to see.
Yeah, not sure why. I mean, I guess it was too warm maybe or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But no, walk through, and it's really unreal. I mean, you walk in, the stadium kind of sits
down. Oh, it's real, though.
Sits below you, which is really cool. I haven't been to many like that, where you're walking in on kind of more of the upper, you know, mid-level.
Right, so for those that are unaware, you walk in, and you're above all the lower-level tickets, and then you actually have to climb up to get to the upper levels.
Yeah.
But you're able to walk straight down into the bowl.
No, I mean, biggest takeaways were, I mean, it's gorgeous stadium, layout. I had no issues. Obviously we went up, you know, we snagged some club level seats. So the experience up there was awesome. You know, no line for the food, drink, bathroom, in and out. And that's kind of the middle section, if you will, around the stadium. So
yeah, I would call it like kind of the second tier that you see on the TV screens.
Yep, and we were, I don't know, what were we, like 40, 45-yard line somewhere? I mean, we were close.
Somewhere
to the
there, yeah. Those I think those club seats run about 37-yard to 37-yard-ish, somewhere in there.
So, no, awesome. Really, the size, the sheer size of it. I mean, it looks big from the outside, but then you get in and it's like,
yeah,
there are just so many seats. It's just this huge, huge stadium. But also when you're there, it feels, somewhat intimate, you know, it's awesome. If you haven't been, I think a preseason game is a great way to check it out. The tickets are, you know, relatively cheap. Well, we sat in, you know, kind of the VIP club level, and you know, it was $30 a ticket. So
Additionally, I think what the whole third quarter we sat down in the main concourse
on one of the
ends of the stadium where they have kind of standing room where you can just kind of chill out there. So you know, you can get a nosebleed ticket, and especially in a preseason game, I don't think many people would care if you're just kind of hanging out there the entire time. So kind of hang out there at the one end of the stadium, get a nice good view of what's going on, an aerial enough to where you can see what's going on, you're not super close to it, and I every time I go there, it's always a first class experience. I just love that building. It's so much nicer than the Metrodome. You can actually move in that thing.
And then, you know, the turnout was the other thing that kind of was not really surprising, but it's just, we were down beforehand at a couple of the establishments in the area, and I know we were talking before, it's like there's just so many people down here for a Saturday morning on a beautiful weekend in the summertime in Minnesota, which we know how everyone around here loves their weekends. But I mean, it was a sea of purple.
Yeah.
And
the hype
and
is
the stadium,
real, man.
I mean, that stadium for that preseason game, I mean, was probably more full than a lot of NFL stadiums are on an actual Sunday.
Right.
You know, and that was just awesome to see. I think the fan base is ready. They're passionate, and a lot of excitement. I got a lot of excitement from the fans. You know, they were going on, you know, second down, first, second down, third down for Jacksonville right out the gate. They're, you know, making noise, trying to cause false starts and delay of games. And this is a preseason game, so it's pretty cool.
I went to the third preseason game 3 years ago now.
Okay.
Teddy's last game before he got injured.
Yep.
my God, the noise in that building was incredible for a preseason game. It was just unbelievable. But I want to interject with that point where you had, what did you think of the first skull chant that you've been a part of?
Very cool. First skull chant I've been a part of in an in the stadium. You know, the skull chant seems to break out all over Minnesota in this day and age, but...
They only did it, I think they only did it once during the game, leading up to the game, but I promise you, if you're there during an actual game, it happens significantly more often.
Yeah, no, I think it was twice, because I think
was
we
it
did
twice?
One, remember, you did one when we were overstanding at the far end, too, I think, towards the end.
Could be. So, they might have done it twice, then.
Two, but...
I remember it happening in the last couple games I've been to, actual games. They've done it significantly more than that. And, yeah. I think, like you brought up when we were there, the players use it as, like, to get hyped.
Yeah.
And just get jacked for it, and they love it, and that's... Why, if you're there, participate in that skull chant. Give it all you got, because that's got to be intimidating to opposing players.
Oh, yeah, it was loud, and I saw, you know, Linval often with big plays kind of does the overhead clap a couple times almost to try to get it going. And
Linval hungry.
Oh, yeah, they were jacked up. It was fun. It was an awesome experience. Hopefully, I'm not sure if I'll make it for a regular season or playoff game this year, but, you know, I'm hoping to, so we'll see.
See what we can get, man.
Yeah.
So we're at the game. What was kind of the feel of the game you got? I felt like it was pretty sloppy myself.
Yeah, I mean,
20 penalties accepted.
I'm sure a lot of you probably watched the game, at least maybe the first half. It's tough to kind of, at times, it's a little bit more difficult to get the true feel when you're at the game. You know, you have a bias from the crowd, obviously, on penalties, right? They're going to hate every penalty called against you, and also...
I try to keep an open mind, but crowd mentality,
and
you
we
know.
Did, but I mean, yeah, certainly some choppiness, slow play. Cousins missed some throws, I think we'll touch on later, to Thielen. I guess I thought that we contained Fournette earlier, you know, in the game. I thought when our first team defense was out there, I was okay with the run defense. I mean, other takeaways from the game, I watched Treadwell quite a bit. I thought Treadwell looked good. He got really close on kind of a crossing route on, I want to say it was third down, and a guy made a really nice tackle, otherwise he might have been
gone.
Yeah. But I was telling you, he just looks almost like just leaner and fast. He looks fast this year. So
he looks so fast. He makes fast guys look not fast.
We've been there for Treadwell. I'm not going to say we're Treadwell apologists by any means.
This is the year.
But
this is the year.
You know, certainly with Zimmer being on his side seemingly for, you know, or Zimmer being positive about him for one of the first few times, I think you might see some stuff from Treadwell this year with all the attention that Diggs and Thielen and Rudolph are going to draw and Dalvin.
Sure.
I think that Treadwell is going to have a lot of matchups against not, you know, top-end corners. And from what I saw, you know, I think he might be able to exploit that.
And, you know, no shade on Case Keenum, but he's not really a three-read guy. A lot of times last year you saw Treadwell getting open, but he wasn't on the read.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think the first season Treadwell was in the building, kind of plagued by injury a little bit, kind of held him back more than was let on. So, you know what? Maybe third year's a charm. Maybe he picks it up this year. We'll see.
Other takeaway would be that defensive line for Jacksonville is the real deal, isn't it?
Well, we were expecting that, and we're coming in with a makeshift O-line. You know, we only got maybe two starters that are going to be there.
Yeah,
week one.
Yeah, it was
hopefully.
Kind of a patchwork offensive line start for us.
Overall, not horrible.
No, but it's just certainly you saw the talent there where at times they got through and you could see a little bit of the inexperience and maybe just kind of the lack of chemistry. I know you're always talking about how chemistry is a huge deal down in the trenches. So. But man, Jacksonville, that defense looked good. Marquise Lee looks faster than a lot of our corners seemingly thought he was.
Yeah, he I think he was covered on one route by Sherrills, And Charles has really no business covering Mark Easley.
No, no.
That's effectively, what did they have? They had Newman on Alshon Jeffrey in the NFC Championship game, and that he has no business being on Jeffrey.
Right. No. I don't know. Any other takeaways that you had? I mean, it's tough because, like you said, we're at the game. We kind of made the decision we weren't going to check out Vikings Twitter until halftime because we, just kind of wanted to focus on the game.
I'll say, the thing about preseason games, and everyone complains about it, and everyone seemingly forgets that they overcall penalties a lot during preseason games.
They do. Intentionally.
Intentionally, because what they're trying to look for is they're flagging all these things. They're saying, okay, they go back and they look at each individual reference that you flagged this. This is why that is not a flag, or this is why this is a flag, and that was a good call. It's a teaching moment for all the refs to go through and understand exactly what should be called, what was a good call, what was a poor call, what you should be looking for. However, there was a roughing the passer call late in the game, which was completely ridiculous. All right. Now, we call this the Aaron Rodgers rule. If Aaron Rodgers actually takes some bone supplements, maybe this isn't an existing rule. Because there is no way that was roughing the passer. No way. If you had to have seen the replay by now on Twitter, if you're on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's no way that was roughing the passer. He's on his knees tackling the guy.
Right.
What do you want us to do with the quarterback?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that most likely, if you're listening to us here, you've seen the play. And there was kind of an outpouring that night from all around the NFL. Ben Lieber continually, even I think today, consistently making posts about how this needs to be changed. Mike Zimmer came out today and said that if these rules stay, there's going to be guys that lose their jobs because of it. Players that lose their jobs. Richard Sherman came out and was really against these new rules. So there was some awareness, I think, that was spread, not just in the Viking game, but certainly we had... How many of them got called that game?
I think there was at least three.
There was the one on where Ham, where it could have been offsetting.
It should have been offsetting technically in that one. Yeah. I think there was at least one more.
Yeah, one or two more, I think. Plus, and then, you had the big
rough in the passer
thing. The big hit that kind of knocked out our receiver toward the end.
That kind of hit pisses me off.
Right, but it's going to take some time for the fans to adjust. I think we're going to have to adjust. I think that the NFL has made a decision that they're going to move to player safety. I was listening to a podcast, and it was it Mike Piera, the rules former, he kind of, I think Fox yep. brings him in. He said that he's been watching a lot of these full games, and he has noticed a change in the way that a lot of guys are tackling.
Sure.
And I think that, it's all a grain of salt. And I realize we've got the make football violent again. Whatever. And by the way, whatever. I don't want to lose it. But
here's my whole point on this, right? And this is my whole point with any of these penalties that are somewhat ticky-tacky, and they have to decide in a split-second moment. Like, these penalties decide games. Okay.
Yeah.
That lowering the helmet rule, that's a 15-yard penalty.
Yep.
That's the difference between a stop and ending a drive and winning a game late in the fourth quarter, or extending the drive, giving the opposing offense 15 yards, and now all of a sudden they get a fresh set of downs. That, at the very minimum, if you want to go down this route and make the game safer, fine. Let's make that rule. But then you have to implement something where these can be challenged, these can be overturned when they're blatantly, obviously not that call. Because we see this all the time with pass interference. There's no recourse to pick that flag up.
No.
You see this all the time with roughing the passer. For instance, that a couple years back, that Detroit Green Bay game. The face mask penalty that didn't exist because he didn't even touch his face mask.
Right.
Okay. That type of play should be reviewable, and you should be able to remove that penalty, especially in the 2 minutes. That should be immediately reviewed by the officials and say, okay, let's get this right because it matters to the outcome of the game. And they don't do that currently.
No, and I think...
So I'm fine for making the game safer, but you got to give teams a recourse
Yeah, and I agree with you that I think that that is an obvious solution here. The devil's advocate would be, you've got a lot of fans that are not as diehard as maybe you and I, our listeners. You've got the casual fans out there where it already feels like every single thing can be reviewed, and these games are taking forever and drying out. And I think that the NFL is trying to, ultimately balance everything. You know, safety, the casual fan, the...
But if you're trying to balance that right, and you're trying to make the game quicker, you just implemented new penalties that are going to be called fairly regularly.
Right.
So you're already making the game longer anyway. So why don't you cater to both and say, okay, we're going to make the game a little bit longer, but we're also going to make it safer, and we're going to make the outcomes more predictable based on skill of the team and not a call on the
refs. Yeah, I just don't know that you're ever going to get to a point where every call is challengeable.
Every call challengeable. What I want is 15-yard penalties like that, that are refresh of a downs, challengeable. If it's an instant first down, you challenge it, you get it right. Well, if it's a pass interference, you challenge it, you get it right. If it's a personal foul, you challenge it, or it's immediate review, like a fumble, to get it right.
Yeah, you know, you were talking like that. If the NFL, which they do have the ability to hire on a team of guys that are watching these games, and as soon as that's called, it's instant being reviewed.
They get a review, they get to see three or four angles, and then immediately after that they vote. Is that penalty or is it not?
And they could do the thing where if it's close, they stop the game.
If it's close, they take the call on the field.
Here's what I'm saying. If it's a close enough play where this team of experts or whatever deem that, hey, wait a minute. So let's say Vikings are driving down the field. There's one of these hits. It's not flagged. We're out there trying to hurry up to get to second down. Whoa. These guys notice something. You can stop it, review it, or vice versa. Flags out there, you know. But I think that ultimately we're going to be in a situation for this year where they're going to go through with the way it's set up. And you're right. There are going to be outcomes that are going to be decided. I think it's going to start week one. I mean, I think you're going to see this weekly where outcomes are decided due to some of these calls. Now,
I mean, you already see it with, like, pass interference calls. We've generally accepted that as the case. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. You're going to get screwed some, you're going to gain on some.
Some of this is a little bit of a witch hunt by these guys that are, you know, they like the violent, the big hits and whatever. You have to realize that certain types of hits are illegal.
Absolutely.
And so if a guy comes across, leads with his helmet on a big hit, no, you're going to get, that is a penalty, and I don't have a problem with that. And you do have people that hate that that's being taken out of the game.
Which, you know, I say, you know, you just get with the times here. Like, you can't beat these guys up and have them be dead by 35.
Well, and I mean, look at last year. The Steelers guy leads with his head in what seemingly wasn't even a huge contact play.
Yep.
Hits the guy in the hip. And, I mean, thank God, I mean, he walked out, I think it was with the ESPYs, maybe, he walked out on the stage.
But he's still not even close to being anywhere near football.
Might not ever play again, and was close to paralyzed. So, you know, I think that the player safety, I have no problem that the NFL has made this their number one priority.
But implementation is key.
Yeah, and it's going to be rough. It's going to be a tough season, and I guarantee you that every single week we're going to be talking about this in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, I'm always kind of, you got to think about, these referees are making a decision in a split second, trying to make a call right. And I think that even helps go to your, where they should be reviewable. Because maybe they do have a bad angle, but it looks like it should be called.
Right.
Make it reviewable. Let's fix it.
What's just, you know, anything that's a personal foul, because now that's an ejectable offense, you instantly review it.
Yeah.
It becomes like a fumble.
So
it takes an extra 20 seconds of the game time.
So college,
to get it right.
I believe in college they can review, because you can be ejected in college for targeting now.
Yep.
And I believe that it is reviewable. Anytime that they think it might have been targeting, they go, they review it, and then they make a decision.
Absolutely.
So
same thing here.
Kind of along a similar line here. Yeah.
It's, I mean, the amount of times it happens a game is like maybe three.
They said they're expecting about 1.5. Calls a game.
Of the lower in the head?
Of that, yep, this new rule.
Okay, so maybe it takes a minute to get one of those calls, right?
Yep.
You're adding 2 minutes to the game. What are we talking about here? Let's get this right. Let's not dick around and make games decided on this. Let's get it right.
Certainly a hot-button topic. Maybe we'll throw a poll out and let us know what you think about it. But
over-under, Andrew Sandejo, 10.5 lower in the helmet calls.
I'll go under, but certainly... you know, he's going to be one that's going to have a couple.
I'm going to go over. Just to stir the pot.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, we'll get off that topic for now. I think we spent enough time on that.
We could do a whole show on that. But.
We could do a whole week on that, Mike.
Yeah.
So this brings us to our next segment, the Rock Thompson Show, featuring Rock Thomas, or should we say Mike Boone? Yeah, correction from last week. It's Rock Thomas, not Rock Thompson. So my dumb brain put Thompson in there for some reason. I don't know. I don't even know anyone named Thompson.
Maybe you're a big Chris Thompson fan, the running back for the Redskins.
I kind of doubt it.
Who, as we'll get to a little bit later, has some company in the backfield.
He does.
As of today, but
that's later.
A little preview.
That's a little bit later. So yeah, Mike Boone crushed it. 13 carries for 91 yards, one reception for a yard and a TD. So just when I thought Rock Thomas had this RB3 position locked up, you get a performance from Boone like this. And Boone also, I don't know if you've seen the clip.
Pass block.
Had an absolutely amazing pass block.
Yeah.
Like something AP couldn't even dream of doing. So, I don't know. Thoughts on Boone?
Undrafted free agent out of Cincinnati. Runs hard. Actually, kind of reminds me of like a, just in the limited clips I've watched, almost like Chris Johnson in his prime.
Okay.
You know, he's shifty enough, but he's also,
he's got good power.
Yeah, and more power than you'd think,
yeah.
You know, and man, he had that stadium going, definitely. So I think I love when running backs can block. I hated the fact that Adrian Peterson could not do that.
Correct, because third down, if he needed to throw, he wasn't in.
Right.
So you telegraphed it.
Obviously, you know, I saw one play there. I saw the same highlight you're talking about where awesome, you know, step up there. But, he had – did you already read off the stats?
Was, yep.
So
13 for 91.
Huge game.
One TD, yep.
I think we got a battle on our hands between Rock Thomas and Mike Boone. So it seems like –
You know, honestly, I could see one of them maybe being trade bait for a late round pick.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe, you know, running backs get hurt all the time. So, you know, maybe you've got a backup on the practice squad, too. I don't know. But
yeah, we'll see. If they keep performing like that, if they do that through the fourth preseason game, you know, it's going to be tough to sash one of those guys in the practice squad.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong there. I think after last week, it sounded like Rock Thomas was kind of, you listen to, like, you know, local and like the radio around here, and it was all the Rock Thomas love, and he's maybe moved into the front runner spot, and then now today it was all, you know, it's all about
Mike Boone
loving him, and it was fun. That one drive, they ended up getting him into the end zone, but it was
yeah,
like
he got
Mike
tackled
Boone,
like the one, and then pushed it in.
It was basically like the Mike Boone show there for a little while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's exciting. You get guys that. You know, are really fighting for their job, their career, hungry, undrafted kid, chip on the shoulder. Also, you know, you got to think a little bit that Latavius might not be here next year. And yeah, you've got Dalvin Cook, who seems to be your running back of the future, but
you can't just bank
on one
guy.
You can't do it with one, certainly this NFL. So, you know, you're playing for a little bit more than just that third running back spot this year and a guy that stands on the sidelines. It's fun. That's definitely something to watch game three, which will be this Friday.
This Friday.
You got a time on that
for
me?
The Sea Chickens. I believe it's a 7 o'clock at night game.
7 o'clock at night. Okay. Yeah. I hate those 7 a.m. games, you know?
7 a.m. Yeah. Oof. You remember the last time we had a 7 a.m. game? 8 a.m. game, Mike?
That was over across the pond probably, huh?
Yep. We were playing... I think we were playing Cleveland in London, and the night before was your Halloween party, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm up spry, right and awake, just waiting for everyone to get up. I'm watching the game, and you guys are still sleeping.
No.
Yeah. So, it's okay.
Halloween will do that.
Yeah, we'll let that slide. Well, I probably had more to drink than you guys did.
That's fair.
You were tasting some of my screwdrivers that night.
Oh, yeah.
They were a little bit strong. Anyway, speaking of things that make you want to drink... Injuries.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we forgot about that.
You know, I tried to get some help from my late uncle and keeping us safe, but wow.
Yeah, did you kind of make him mad or something, maybe?
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to figure that out. He did not like it or did not his influence did not help. No. Just put it that way. Eddie Aruna, defensive end, out for the season with a torn, I believe, ACL in his right knee. Cedric Lang, I think he broke his ankle. Offensive tackle, he's out for the year, I believe. Mac Alexander hurt his ankle. Didn't seem super serious. I think he was in a boot rehabbing.
X-ray is negative. Sounds like it's not a serious injury, though. So
I would probably think... just precautious, and then maybe he might sit back and not play in the next preseason game, probably. Johnny Stanton, I don't know what happened to him, fullback. But I don't know if he sent IR, if he was one of the waived ones, waived with injury designation. Josh Andrews, center, he went down. Jeff Badette, wide receiver, I think he had a concussion after that nasty hit he took from, I think, Marquise Lee. Don't do a block like that or a move like that. It wasn't Marquise Lee, it was a defender. Don't do that because that is complete bullcrap. That's the kind of hit we want to remove from this game.
Right.
Six guys go down. Luckily, and you hate to say that, but none of these guys were projected to be like really high-end starters on the team. Hurts to lose the depth in the offensive line. But, man, that was just a bloodbath near the end. Like, I think I said third quarter. We can end the game now. I'm done with these injuries.
Well, I mean, it's like every other time we looked out there, you know, the trainers are running on the field, you know?
Yeah.
I think the trainers were on the field more than the first-team offense, maybe, you know?
They'd probably definitely banked more yards than the first-team offense did.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair.
Right.
We wish those guys well in their recovery, and
let's hope that you know, stops.
Yes, we need to stop that and get healthy, get the rest of our O-line healthy. We might circle around to that, a little bit of an O-line update, but I'm going to shift into the next topic here regarding the first team offense, Mike. Adam Thielen chemistry, it still isn't there. How concerned should we be?
I'm still not concerned. Maybe the concern...
On a scale of 1 to Troy Williamson.
I'm at a 1 here.
At a 1, okay.
I think that Thielen is going to operate primarily out of the slot this year. Cousins loves the slot. Definitely, he was off on a couple throws to him. He skipped one to him. Thielen looked visibly frustrated a couple times, which I guess maybe I'm at a 2. Maybe I'm at a 2, okay?
2, okay.
But it's still really early, and I mean, it certainly looks like Diggs and Cousins have got it. I mean, they're on track. They're ready to roll. And it's just going to take some time. Get the timing down. Thielen's an excellent route runner. So I think that I'm not worried right now, but it's something to keep an eye on, I guess I would say.
Here's where I'm at with it. I'm at about a 1.5. You know, the only reason why I'm that low still is because last year you had Case Keenum come in with almost zero chemistry with either wide receiver. Right? He came in relief in week 2. And we obviously saw where Thielen and Diggs went.
Yep.
So I'm not really concerned. Something that maybe just, it has to develop. It takes a little bit longer to develop. The timing and the trust and understanding how he breaks could just take a little bit more time. And Diggs is more predictable for whatever reason. We don't know. But I'm at a fairly low like danger meter there. I think he's just going to, like you said, just take a little more time, and I think they'll be fine.
I think those are the nitpick things that you like to look at when guys aren't getting hurt and your team is doing positive things in the preseason. You know, those are kind of the fun things to kind of nitpick, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're not having to talk about the loss of starters to injury or, you know, those sorts of things, it's fun to look at the Mike Boone and then also the struggles and some of the things where, hey, these were really successful last year. Why isn't this going well through a preseason game or two? But at the end of the day, it's preseason, right? That's what you really have to think about. They're going in a lot of times and trying to work on specific things. It's not, I mean, they're not watching tape necessarily, nearly as much as they would. So
they're not game planning. They're, like you said, they're working out the kinks. They're trying very vanilla stuff.
It's a grain of salt, but I mean, it's something to keep an eye on. You know, I think his chemistry and just the chemistry really with a brand new offense, is something in itself. So it might not even be just Thielen and Cousins. You know, you're going to add Dalvin into the mix soon, and that's going to be another moving piece. Latavius had two fumbles, and it seemed like he didn't even...
How did we not put Latavius on his list?
Barely even touched. On the one, I don't even think he was. He was, like, leg-tackled. So, you know, you've got a bunch of things that are kind of going a little bit weird. Maybe you chalk it up to new, maybe lack of chemistry, or maybe it's just the preseason and these things happen.
Yep.
But
better to happen now than in the regular season.
A lot of you probably are like, I'm not even aware that Thielen has been, you know, really, really quiet. Well, now you know.
He has.
And now it's something you can watch Friday.
Absolutely.
We're trying to help you have things to watch on Friday.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a half dozen things we already thrown out here where, you know, you can just take a deeper look. Just try to just cool into those keys a little bit more.
Like, who's going to recover Latavius' fumbles?
Exactly.
Friday,
that's, you know? I mean,
will it be us or will it be?
That's an avid concern. Is Seattle. Which O-line is going to have the best recover skills? We don't know yet.
Yeah. We'll see.
We've only had to recover two Latavius fumbles. There could be many more this year. You know, you never know. But I guess shifting gears here, we'll kind of go a little bit around the league here. The LA Rams have signed a tackle to an extension, Mike.
Okay.
Do you know which tackle?
I would assume it's Aaron Donald.
No, it's the offensive tackle Rob Helverson.
Oh.
You would think it would be Aaron Donald. You would think that would be their prime free agent that they would want to re-sign and extend.
Oh.
You would think that would be the goal, but no.
Still a weird deal.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Mike. We touched on this a couple of pods ago, and I don't get it. I don't get why you continually disrespect the guy.
I don't know. I did see that they're apparently getting really close, but...
They're in the same zip code, but you want to know what? There's a lot of damn houses in my zip code. Okay?
You never know.
It took me a long time to go door to door and find exactly where I needed to be.
I don't know.
So, we'll see how that breaks down, but... If my theory still holds true, he's not playing it down this year. So, we'll see.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to win a six-pack from you.
I mean, I'm going to win a six-pack from you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. So, yeah, there's that. Then also, Menelik Watson got cut by Denver. He was due $5.5 million this year, and that was not enough to keep him around on the roster.
Okay.
So, I don't know what you really gleaned from that of... You know, he's cut. He's due $5.5 million. They still cut him. So, I don't know what... Is there anything to make of that?
Well, I mean, it's tough when you're not following that team close,
right.
You know, to make... I'd just be total guess, you know, obviously. If it's someone here, you'd think, oh, you heard it's a bad locker room, or you want somebody behind him to get some more experience. I don't know. I mean, Is he a younger guy?
You know, I'm not. I'm not.
This was on your radar. Sure. You said maybe a year ago as a possible.
I think 2 years ago.
As possible interest.
He's one of the guys in the tackle market when we were searching for a tackle. That was
right
on the radar. Let's see. His age is 29.
29. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It could be a lot of different things. And Denver is a weird team. You know, this year, like, what are you trying to do there? We heard apparently they're maybe interested in bringing Teddy in right before the show. So,
I think just John Elway is bad at evaluating QB talent,
which honestly is a weird statement, isn't it?
It's an absurd statement, but it makes a whole lot of sense if you look at their path of quarterbacks. Yeah, I don't know. I threw this out there as possible free agent depth for the Vikings. I mean, he might not even be subject to waivers, so he might just get that money guaranteed to him from Denver. And then you bring him in for that minimum because he's already making $5.5 million. So it shouldn't take a lot to persuade him. And if you're a team like the Vikings, you have a pretty high aspirations this year. That would be pretty attractive to the guy. So if we truly are looking for some tackle depth, if maybe Hill's injury is a little bit more severe than anyone's letting on, maybe you bring him in for some depth. I don't know. Just something that's possible. Now, whether or not we want him, I'm not certain. I'm not Rick Spielman. I'm not in Rick Spielman's ear. But it's a possibility.
Well, just, I mean, it's good to know. It's a name to know.
It's a name to know, so if you're not surprised if you hear it come up that he's in the building or we're talking to him. Let's circle back around to our offensive line here for a second.
Okay.
So we started with Reef, Compton, Edison, Isadora, and Collins. Now, the optimist in me says that only one or two of those guys will be starting week one of the regular season.
Yes, yes.
Now, the problem is, optimist Vikings fans usually always end up paying at the end.
Well, that's actually true.
That's actually very true. So, I don't know. I don't know what I feel about Isadora playing right guard. I don't know. I know for at least tackle, the transition from right to left is significant. I'm not sure it's as significant for guard. So, if he's truly panning out strong, maybe you kick him to left guard with Elfline at center, Remmers at right guard, and Hill at right tackle. Maybe you say, okay, with Isadora showing out, now maybe Remmers shifts back to right tackle, and Hill is now your backup again, and then you pick up a left guard, or you keep Compton at left guard. I'm not certain. Any thoughts on that?
My concern is that, you know, as we get closer and closer, and we've got rotation, with chemistry being a big deal.
Chemistry!
You know, I guess that's my biggest concern. I think that the guys we've talked about that are a little banged up are starting to trickle back, right? They're starting to practice again. So I think that from a health standpoint, unless someone suffers a setback or something happens in one of these, well, probably the next game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, I guess, game four, maybe we'll see a little bit of the offensive line starters there too, just because they haven't had the ability to play together.
Right.
But I don't know. I tend to leave the trench knowledge to you in terms of the shuffling around of players, but my concern is going to be right now the randomness and moving parts that we've had and just the lack of chemistry.
Yep.
I think
it's a valid concern.
So I guess I'm hoping that this week some of these guys that have been really close, we keep hearing they're really close, end up getting back, end up playing together. Let's see a game against what I'm guessing the Seattle's defensive mm-hmm. line doesn't strike me as anything.
Two guys returning from our own line.
No, yeah, that's true.
Tom Johnson and I believe who's the other one? Shamar Stephan. And you know, I'm with you there. It's never good to be shuffling the line in the preseason. You hope that you can use that time to really get these guys up to speed. But recall, Reef was a very solid left tackle for us last season, and I don't think he played a down in preseason. So it's not imperative that we get the starting five right now.
No.
It would be beneficial.
Well, it's just like Elfline is close, Zimmer said.
Right.
You know, so.
And, you know, honestly, I would expect if we're going to see Elfline on Friday, he'll practice tomorrow. He'll be taking off pup and practice tomorrow. If we're going to see him on Friday. I would expect the same for Remmers and Hill. If we're going to see him on Friday.
Remmers and Hill practice today.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I mean. Like, we're getting
so
close.
So they're back. So, like I said, if Elfline's going to play on Friday, I'd expect to see him tomorrow. If not, they're going to shut him down the entire preseason and say, all right, continue to get your rest, continue to heal that 100%. We want you to 100% back, continue to condition without having any reps on you, and come in 100% strength, 100% flexibility, and 100% ready.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
I mean, I guess, I know you're Isadora. I think that Collins has just as good a shot there in that spot. And then, you know, Reef, Elfline, Remmers, I think, and Hill will be kind of where I'm at on it. So,
yeah, it's kind of weird right now because
I think
Collins played like three different positions on Saturday.
So that's just why I'm assuming he's going to be in, because I just think something negative is, you know, either a guy's going to get banged up or not be back in time, and you might see a little bit of a versatility factor there. I don't think O'Neal is going to be ready to roll by any means.
But again, we saw he didn't seem overwhelmed.
No,
when he had to play. So
I'm hoping that we can kind of ease him in, you know.
I think he'll be all right. He didn't seem as overwhelmed as TJ Quemmons did his first few games. So,
right.
I'm at least positive that if we needed him, we could probably push him into service, and he probably wouldn't have his entire career trajectory ruined by doing so. But, you know, the TJ Quemmons podcast, that's coming soon. So, you know, keep your eyes open for that. Not really, though. But maybe. But not really. Okay, so we put out on Twitter, we only got two responses. One of them from a co-host of the podcast, S. Scolgers. Okay, so we ask you your questions. Here's what we got. First question. As much as we all love Holton Hill and his potential, has he really done enough for a roster spot? From Ian Paraguay. I hope I'm saying that right. So, thoughts on Holton Hill and what he's done to deserve a roster spot at this point, or not deserve a roster spot?
Well, you know, we hear the hype from players.
We didn't even have to draft him.
Right. So you certainly have heard the hype, not only from the coaches, but from the players, which, as you know, if Zimmer is coming out and praising you, that's a good thing. So my fear would be, is that someone that, if they try to practice squad, would even clear at this point, is my concern. So
right.
If that's not going to happen, I think, yes, he does have a spot on the team. Gut feeling right now is that, yeah, there's going to be room.
Okay.
I also don't think Cheryl is going to be on the team. So.
And I would agree, so I think that's where
I think that's the spot.
Yep.
So.
I would tend to agree. I could see the point where we might keep both until Kentrell Brothers is off suspension. So through first 4 weeks, we keep both, and then you try out Mike Hughes at both return spots full-time. But yeah, I'm of the same mindset. From everything we hear in camp, I mean, his progress is a lot quicker than any other undrafted free agent you see. He feels more like a mid-rounder that's picking it up quick. And like you said, if Mike Zimmer's praising you, you're doing some good stuff. And you hear good things from Xavier Rhodes, that he's asking the right questions. He's getting in the right spot. So I could easily see us rostering him, but on the other side of the token, I could easily see another team not taking the chance on him.
Yeah, I mean, and he struggled a little bit in the actual games.
Yes.
So
he might, this year, he might be able to pass the practice squad.
Right, but then it's like, well, why are you hyping it, you know, why are you hyping him up? So, you know.
Or potential trade bait.
Right, I guess.
I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts there. So you personally think he's done enough to deserve a roster spot?
Cheryl's out, Hill in.
I would feel the same. My gut says the same. But who knows? Sometimes these roster spots just, you can't predict them. So.
Right.
Who knows? We feel yes. Zimmer, well, he might not. We'll find out.
I just think, why wouldn't you? I mean, the upside for Hill. Do you trust Cheryl's in a coverage situation?
No.
So,
no.
You know what I mean?
I trust him about as far as I trust Josh Robinson, and that is not far.
Oh, God.
Different podcast.
That's a name from the past. yeah, I think when you've got Hughes, although, interesting enough, Cheryl's did take a punt or two. I don't know. Did Hughes even get out for a punt return at the game?
I think he was a few, but okay. Yeah, I don't.
Cheryl's was out, so, I mean, they were kind of mixing up.
I really don't understand why they have Cheryl's taking punts.
Yeah.
Why? Why wouldn't you want Hughes to take every single one of them?
But then again, you had Kai doing some kicking, and, you know, I don't know.
Oh, we're about to get to that in the next question we have here from mine truly here.
Yeah.
So the second question we got, have you ordered your Daniel Carson jersey yet? The answer to that is no, but I'm pretty sure you still have a number 7 jersey that you could tape over.
And I think I might have to do that.
So you can do that.
Yes, I have a Christian Ponder jersey.
I will make this promise to you in the podcast. I will get a Daniel Carlson jersey if he kicks us into the Super Bowl.
So if we make the Super Bowl, or he's got to make it?
No, he's got to make a kick that kicks us into the Super Bowl. Like, he kicks us, we win.
Like, late fourth in the NFC Championship game.
Yes. If he kicks us into a Super Bowl,
you get.
I will buy a Daniel Carlson jersey.
All right.
I'll buy two. I'll buy one for you, too.
All right. You heard it here.
So, If that happens, which, let's face it, the Minnesota Vikings and kickers, that's never going to happen. But if that happens, you're here to hear first. But that brings us to the final update of Kicker Watch 2018, Mike.
Yeah, my favorite segment.
Kai Forbath kicking a 41-yard field goal, doinks it off the right upright. Now, personally, I think if you hit the uprights, it should be worth 4 points.
Right.
But, you know...
Valid.
Nothing works that way. So, Nobrekai is out of here.
He's out of here. Certainly, I would assume we'll find another home shortly. Kickers are always in somewhat of demand, and whether or not you want to admit it or not, was not by any means a horrible kicker last year. Definitely struggled a little bit with the extra points, but from a field goal standpoint, you know, was not horrible by any means.
And, his performance was adequate.
Yeah, so there's going to be a team out there that's going to need that, and, you know, I guess there's no doubt in my mind he'll probably have a job this year somewhere.
Exactly. You hit a, I mean, even if it's not week one, kicker gets injured on right. some fluke play, needs a veteran that can provide that leg. There you go. Couple other things to wrap up here, Mikey. Georgia Loca, our favorite Zimmer product.
Yeah.
Cut from the Cincinnati Bengals.
I did see that.
Now, it was brought up on the Twitter machine. Should the Vikings be interested? And my response is, why?
Yeah, I think we have the same response. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to be a Sendejo apologist here or anything, but I think I'm fine with him. I think he's really improved over the last few years, and I think, I don't know, he works well with Harrison, yep. seemingly, so... he's kind of gone to where I don't notice him except for the occasional big hit where he gets, you know, fined or whatever. Yeah, flagged.
One game suspension.
I think anytime that that's happening, you know, they're probably doing their job, especially in a Zimmer defense.
Yep.
And so I think barring an injury, and him still being available or something weird along those lines, I don't think it makes sense for us. And
yeah, know. I completely agree. I think our safety room is pretty deep for what we have talent wise. Either one of those guys goes down, you don't really see a drop-off, so I don't see why we need to bring him in. I don't see why we need to spend that cash.
Well, and a lot of people are really liking the play of Anthony Harris, too.
Yep.
You know, certainly Harris has had to play in the past year or two a little bit, and I've thought he played well in those Absolutely. Situations. So, obviously, I don't think they quite fully trust him yet, but it seems like they're on the path to that. So
it's a process.
I like the guys that work their way through Zimmer's system and kind of earn the trust and turn into good football players. And you've heard that from everywhere he's been, that he's changed careers.
He's got to let them marinate.
You know, he's made them better players, extended the careers of a lot of guys.
He's got to let them marinate a little bit.
Terrence
Newman has been marinated for a solid 50 years, man.
Right. I would say no interest in, no interest there. No interest.
And I would agree. Now we got some flashback news, Mikey. Uh-oh. Our boy Adrian Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
He's now a Washington potato.
Yeah. Washington
potato. Washington potato.
Yeah, so Washington had some injury troubles. Their rookie running back, Geis, went down with an ACL injury, I believe, and is out for the year. They have Chris Thompson. Who last November, I think, broke his leg or had somewhat of a serious leg injury and is coming back, hasn't played in the preseason. Sounds like he's going to be probably ready to roll early in the year. But basically, they've just really been getting down there from a running back standpoint. I think they had another guy go down here in the last game. So they're kind of down to, I think I had read, one or two healthy backs, basically. And Peterson still... needed a home, and of course he's in the best shape of his life.
You can make a bingo board on that, man.
Right.
It's uncanny. Just record wise, Adrian Peterson needs 37 yards to take the 10th spot of the all time rushing list.
Okay.
So that should happen by like week 9, give or take, based on his New Orleans performance.
Right.
No, but in all seriousness, if he puts up 1,000 yards in the season, he would have a chance to push up to 8th on the all-time rushing record. Now, are they actually going to work him that hard? I don't think so. He's 33. As much as he hates to admit it, he is not immune to Father Time. He clearly took a step back, speed-wise and power-wise. At least the last year we had him.
Right.
Then he played a whole year with two different teams that really didn't utilize him a lot. So I don't see him getting anywhere near 1,000 yards this season.
No, I don't think so either.
So, but we'll see how good that relationship goes.
Yeah, with a different team. So,
and reminder, that is the same field that he tore his ACL on.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little bit of revenge for his ACL there. Or the field is going to get him again. You know, 50-50 chance.
We'll see.
All right, so to wrap it up, Mike.
Okay.
Go to our first prediction section. It's a trial run of this prediction section here.
Okay.
Ahead of the full season. So what we're going to do is we're going to predict the Minnesota game, the Green Bay game, and then we've each picked two games independently. If they match up, cool. If they don't, that's fine. Then we're just going to track our score like, you know, the whole NFL.com network analysts do. And we'll see who wins at the end of the season. Maybe we put a six back on it. I'm not certain.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll figure it out. So, Seattle at Minnesota.
Okay.
At U.S. Point, at historic U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yes.
Who you got?
I'm going to take Minnesota in that game.
Okay. What's the score?
We're going to throw a score out, huh?
Yeah, we got to have a tiebreaker.
Oh, let's do 31 to 21.
31, okay.
So I do not think that Seattle is going to be that good of a football team this year. I think they're kind of in a little bit of a rebuild mode. They lost the Legion of Boom. No longer exists. They've got Russell Wilson, who, as you know, one of my favorite players in the league, much less quarterbacks in the league. So still a guy that can put some points up. I think a lot of their points are going to come later in the game. I'm not saying that, you know, the first team defense is going to give up a lot, but I think it'll be fun to actually see the maybe first full look at a healthier Vikings offense if we can get you know, potentially Remmers and Elflein, and there's talk that Dalvin might play. All of a sudden, you've got kind of a little bit closer to what our starting team is going to be. It's a home game.
What it should look like.
I think I would. I like them to put up some points, so I will take the Minnesota Vikings to win that game.
I think I'm going to mirror that sentiment. I'm going to go 34-17. I think Seattle gets a garbage touchdown late. It's okay. Like, I don't know, 28, 27-ish to like 10.
Points seem to be scored. In the, you know, it's like, yeah. I think I saw Green Bay won like 51-34.
Yeah, that won't happen again.
You know, a bunch of weird scores like that, so.
But yeah, I'm in the same sentiment. Seattle is in a major rebuild mode. I don't know really what they're doing there, but you know what? Hopefully they have a plan. They can get back to competition, because that division is heating up pretty damn quick.
Right.
Second game, Green Bay at Oakland against the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Not Oakland, it's what is it now?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas Raiders. That's just weird. Anyway, what do you got?
I'll probably go with the Raiders in this one, mostly because it's preseason, and I just never want to pick Green Bay to win a game.
Fair.
But I don't know. I think you might see Rodgers play a little bit less than your typical first team would. Be a little bit precautionary with him. And Green Bay's got a lot of younger players and new parts on the defense. I think you're going to see a bounce back here from Oakland from an offensive standpoint. I don't know that they're going to be that good of a football team. But, you know, you never know. I'm going to go Oakland, though. Let's go 28-24.
28-24, so a close one, huh?
Yep.
You know, I'm going to go reverse. I'm going to go Green Bay 31 to Oakland 13.
Okay.
Because, you know, Gruden is just, I don't think he's doing many things right with that football team. He's stuck in the ways of the past. And, I mean, for God's sake, he can't even get his best defensive player to show up in the building. There's something going on there.
Right.
So I think we see that Aaron Rodgers lights it up a bit because he's itching to get in there and play some good football. I don't think Oakland can put it together. So that's where I'm at with that.
Okay. All
right. So we got my first pick, Philadelphia at Cleveland. All right. And I think I'm picking Cleveland on this one.
Okay.
I think I'm picking Cleveland in a 21-20 victory. I think Cleveland's just got a bunch of pieces, and I think they put it together late in this game to steal a victory from Philadelphia. I'm not saying Cleveland's the better team, obviously, because Cleveland's horridness defies all logic. But I think they have a lot of good pieces, and I think they have a lot of talent at the skill positions. Let's go to your pick, Kansas City at Chicago.
Oh, so I don't have to make a pick for the
nope.
Cleveland. Okay. Yeah. What I got? What was the game?
You have Kansas City at Chicago.
Kansas City at Chicago. Actually, kind of a fun game for me. I am really excited about new quarterback for Kansas City, Mahomes, this year. A lot of fun, fast players on that team. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt. You've got Travis Kelce. So their offense is going to be fun to watch all year. And then on the other side, you've got Chicago, who has also some new pieces and potentially fun toys in Trubisky. I like Howard. I like Cohen. Obviously, Kevin White hasn't got hurt yet, which maybe he just hasn't played.
Well, we're not at the end of the year yet.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that'll be a fun game to watch if you're, you know, I'm not sure if that one's I think that one might be a Saturday game. But I'm going to take Kansas City. I think Mahomes, I really like. I don't know if you saw, but if you didn't and you're listening, you should go ahead and look up. He had a 70-yard in the air throw.
Saw that.
Touchdown strike to Tyreek Hill. And it's just, it's a thing of beauty. So I think he's going to be a fun player to watch, and I'll take them in what I think is going to be a close game. I'm going to go 38-35. It's gonna be a shootout in Chicago. Shootout in Chicago.
All right, I like it. Next up for my pick, we have the battle for New York. The New York Giants at the New York Jets. Or is it the Jets at the Giants? I don't know, they play in the same stadium.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they flip a coin.
Yeah, you'd think so. But, yeah. Well, there's going to be at least one coin, and they're going to define who's heads and tails. I'm taking the Jets on this 100%, all the way.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Teddy?
Teddy!
What if he's not there?
He'll be there.
Yeah.
If he's not, you know what?
He'll be on a new squad by then.
It's very possible, but I think he stays with the Jets. I think the Jets take that home late. I think that's going to be a 24-21. Teddy leads a fourth quarter drive to take the game. You got New Orleans versus the Los Angeles Chargers.
yeah, just another, I don't know. I thought this one was kind of a fun game. You got a little bit of the Breeze with the Chargers, and I don't know if Breeze will play. I don't think he's played yet, but I would assume if a guy's going to get a little bit of time, this would be the game. And same thing like Kamara. I don't know. I don't believe he's really got much run either, but I'm gonna go with the Chargers,
the Lightning Bolts.
Yeah,
what do we have for score?
Let's go 24-20
Lightning Bolts.
Yeah.
Sidebar: the Chargers have absolutely wasted Philip Rivers' time as a quarterback.
Hey, a lot of people are picking them as the Super Bowl representative from the AFC this year.
I kind of doubt that'll happen, but you know what? Good for those people.
They should have a good squad.
We'll see. But yeah, I think that'll wrap it up for today. Get our predictions in. We'll see how they pan out next week.
Yeah.
And then we'll gear up for regular season predictions shortly after that.
Probably have multiple shows next week.
Maybe a couple guests.
Yeah, we're going to do a prediction. We'll do a round table, kind of each division. We'll see how many we group into each show. Probably just depends how long we go on about each team, I guess. But
yeah.
Vikes play, sounds like 7 o'clock Friday, Seattle.
Watch that. So, yep.
Should be the most you get to see of the first team.
And if, like you said, if you can get to that game, third preseason game is typically the best one, because like you just said, you see the first team the most, so you get to see them play, you get to experience the stadium on the cheap.
Yep.
So go check it out. It's worth your time, definitely.
Yeah.
So that'll wrap it up for us. Skolgers.com, SkolgersMN on the Twitter, part of the Climb in the Pocket network. I'm Namok7, and you are?
Musky Mike, Musky underscore Mike, sorry.
Don't forget the underscore Mike. That could be dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
But until next time, keep on skoldering on.